Welcome to Dayspring Church Podcast. As you listen, you may want to take a moment to pause and reflect on what God is highlighting for you.
We have been going through a series on inner fire, right? Are we remembering this? Inner fire. And the scripture where this came from is, of course, 2 Timothy, where Paul is calling Timothy to remember who he is and what he carries in the face of opposition and difficulty that he is experiencing. And Paul writes these words, and we should be very familiar with them now. For this reason, I remind you to fan into flame. Everybody say, fan into flame. The gift of God which is in you through the laying on of my hands. For the Spirit God gave us does not make us timid, but gives us power, love, and self-discipline. And in other translations we know, that says a sound mind. But to fan into flame, this speaks of the inner fire that we too are called to tend to cultivate, to stir up. Inner fire, of course, refers to the spirit within us, amen? Our faith in, our love for, and our relationship with Jesus. And over the past month, we've looked at different ways or aspects that are important for keeping the inner fire burning. Things like prayer, gratitude. And last week, we heard about the power and the importance of repentance. Who enjoyed that last week? Well, today we're going to be talking about one of my favorite things in the entire world, and that is the Word of God. The Word of God. Who brought the physical Word of God with them this morning? Wave it around proudly. You are my people. All right, no, Russ, that's the digital Word. There is a difference. Hands up if you think there's a difference. All right, if you have the digital type, wave your digital Word around. Where are you? If we are going to be a people whose inner fire is burning hot and bright for the Lord, we are going to need to be a people of the Word of God. Amen? Is that true this morning? In Acts 2, after Pentecost, when the Holy Spirit was poured out and the church was born, you know, there were things that this new church did that helped to cultivate this new fire that was given to them as a community of believers. And they did these things not because it was in their doing that enabled all that was happening, right? A one-off experience with the Holy Spirit, and then independent of him, they were able to go around and perform miracles and build the church and preach the gospel. No. But equally so, the Holy Spirit didn't come down and possess their physical bodies, right? Take complete control of them and use them like puppets either. No, it was a holy partnership, wasn't it? It was a holy partnership. The fulfillment of Jesus' prayer in John 14, where he said, "Anyone who loves me will obey my teaching. My Father will love them and we will come to them and make our home with them." Don't you love that? Jesus in them through the gift of the Spirit, empowering them, yes, but humanity partnering with him also, daily surrendering and learning to be his vessels, his hands and feet on the earth. Here is a description of this community after the Spirit is poured out. It says they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship, to the breaking of bread and to prayer. Everyone was filled with awe at the many wonders and signs performed by the apostles. All the believers were together and had everything in common. They sold property and possessions to give to anyone who had need. Every day they continued to meet together in the temple courts. They broke bread in their homes and ate together with glad and sincere hearts, praising God and enjoying the favor of all the people. And the Lord added to their number daily those who were being saved. So there are a great many things here that they were doing to partner with what God had given, this inner fire. And right there at the beginning, we see the Word. It says it right there. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching. Now, what was this teaching? Was it Peter and John's new discipleship curriculum? Was it? No, it was the gospel of Jesus. And we see this straight up on the day of Pentecost. Peter preaches a powerful message to the onlookers who were amazed. Some were amazed at what was happening. Some were suspicious and critical at what was happening. and the Holy Spirit being taught, poured out. And so Peter, he's teaching and he's preaching a word straight out of the scriptures, the word of God. And we can read this powerful sermon of Peter's in Acts chapter 2, verses 14 to 36. And we see Peter recounting the scriptures. He's referring to the prophet Joel and he's quoting David from the Psalms, helping the people to see that the word of God, well, the scriptures that they had up until that point, testified to Jesus and what was happening right then and there. He was trying to get them to see that what we know, what God had been saying all along, was pointing to Jesus and this gift of the Spirit. The word confirmed Jesus as Messiah. And it says that as a result of hearing the word preached, the gospel of Jesus proclaimed, in verse 37 it says, when they heard this, they were pierced to the heart. They were pierced to the heart. That's the power of the word of God on a human heart, is it not? Have you felt that, whether it's this morning or another time, have you felt that impact of the word of God on your heart? Yeah? From the spoken word of God to Adam and Eve in the garden, to the written words of the scribes and the prophets of the Old Testament, to the letters of the apostles that make up the New Testament, to throughout history, faithful men and women who preached the word of God to those who couldn't read it for themselves, until about the mid-15th century when the first Bible was published and made available to normal everyday folk like you and I to read, to purchase and read for ourselves, all the way through to now, to hear this, 2025 last year, over 100 million copies of the Bible were sold and distributed. Isn't that amazing? There is nothing like the word of God. There never has been, and there never will be. God's word since the beginning of time has had unmatched influence and power over creation and the human heart. You know, but there are many words in the world, aren't there, when you think about it? There are many words in the world, and I love words, always have. I was an avid reader as a child. Like, I remember even as a young child going off to the library and borrowing books. Do kids still do that? I don't know. Or are they just all digital? But I remember going off to the library and borrowing books and getting lost in book after book. And I've continued to love reading. Where are all my readers? All the words people. I'm not a numbers person or a maths person. Give me a wave if you are a numbers or a maths person. I don't understand you. I don't. Where are all my words, English kind of people? Yes, these are my people, Amy. Yes, wordsmith over here. I love words, but there are so many words in the world. You think about all the libraries across the earth filled with books and filled with words. Words in the airways, right? Media filled with words, but not all words are the same. Not all words are the same. Not all words will have the power to feed and to fuel our inner fire. Speaking of fires, who loves a good fire? Look at us having a yarn about our likes and our dislikes. It's like we're on a date. Who loves a fire? A fire pit? A fireplace? Yeah, Aaron loves a fire pit. He's forever trying to drag me and the kids out to have a fire pit. Ah, I like a fire too, just under a very strict set of circumstances. I just don't like getting all smoky. Yeah. Yeah. But when it comes to a fire, as you know, not all wood burns the same, right? If I'm going to build a fire, I can't just use any other wood. I'm going to run into trouble if I use wet wood. Wood that has been soaked, left out in the rain and wet. It's not going to be great. And I'm also going to have trouble using green leafy branches, aren't I? There's going to be a whole lot of smoke. I'm not going to be able to get close to those flames, and those flames aren't going to last very long. And then there is treated wood. You're not supposed to get, you don't want to be anywhere near burning treated wood. Why? Because the smoke is toxic, right? All wood, but are going to produce, they're not going to produce the same kind of fire that would have us wanting to come close and linger and warm ourselves and have long conversations around. Not all wood burns the same, and so it is with words. So what words are we consuming over the course of a week? Have a think about it. Are they God's words that we are prioritizing? Or is it the news, the media, you know, or opinions and voices and words from all other different kinds of places, social media, YouTube, podcasts, books, movies, you know, the list goes on. And I'm not saying that any of those are bad. although I promise you some of them probably are. What I am saying and what we know to be true this morning is that it's only the Word of God that is going to set our hearts on fire and keep them burning and fan those flames into a roaring fire. Amen? The Word of God. You know, after walking with Jesus on the road to Emmaus, his disciples reflected, and this is what they said. Weren't our hearts, say it, burning within us while he was talking with us on the road and explaining the scriptures to us? Burning. And I had an experience of this. I've had a few experiences, but my earliest memory is of being 13 years old on the way back from a youth conference. And I was on a coach and it was at night and there was a few people chatting, but most people were asleep. And I was sitting down at the front of the bus and just watching, you know, the yellow lines of the road and the bus's headlights. And I was sitting there listening to my Walkman. You had a Walkman. Huh? I know, what's that? Well, it's like a little rectangle and you put cassettes in them. Mine was pink, of course. But I was sitting there listening to my Walkman and I was listening to a teaching tape that I'd bought with for myself on following Jesus. And I remember listening to this person, whoever it was, I probably couldn't even tell you who it was, but just sharing scripture and about what it was to follow Jesus. And I sat there as a 13-year-old with tears down my cheeks, running down my face, and a burning. It felt like a burning inside of me. And I remember thinking, Jesus, you are so real. And I always want to feel this close to you. He was so real to me. It was his word. It was his heart burning. And I've had countless, so many other experiences like that when I've been found in the word or sitting under the teaching of the word. And this morning, I believe that God is wanting to remind us this morning and to renew a passion for his word, to awaken us again to the knowledge of the truth that it's his word that is going to fan into flame our inner fire. Amen? Who wants God to do that for them this morning? A fresh revelation of the power of his word. So we're going to look at three reasons why, as followers of Jesus, have I got any followers of Jesus in the room? We go to the word of God to keep our inner fire burning. And the first two reasons are found in right here in Paul's letters to Timothy. Because it was Paul who was the one who was calling Timothy to fan into flame the gift within him. And throughout his letters, he continues to reference the word of God and its importance in fanning the flame. So in keeping our inner flame burning, we go to the word of God. For number one, are you ready for number one? If you're taking notes, it anchors us in truth. The word anchors us in truth. We know that at this time, the writing of this letter, Paul was wanting Timothy to confront those who were infiltrating the church with false teaching, the church at Ephesus. False teachers preaching conspiracy theories and controversial, weird fringe teaching about food and the way to have relationships and all sorts of things. And as a result, there were divisions in this church and the faith of the people was being affected. And Timothy himself was feeling discouraged and timid with all of this that was going on. And Paul charges Timothy to confront false teaching, to guard the sacred scriptures and to preach them boldly. Everybody say boldly. 2 Timothy 1 verse 13, he says this, this is Paul, what you heard from me, keep. Everybody say keep. As the pattern of sound teaching with faith and love in Christ Jesus, guard the good deposit that was entrusted to you. Guard it with the help of the Holy Spirit who lives in us. That word keep there in the Greek also means to hold, to keep possession of, to preserve out of need or necessity. Have you ever given something important or precious to somebody to look after? Maybe it was something, you know, precious or important and you couldn't watch it or look after it for a little while. So you either gave it to somebody or you put it somewhere so that it would be safe and kept intact just as it was. Well, that's what we're talking, that's what Paul is talking about here. Paul is saying the sound teaching of the word, the gospel of Jesus Christ, keep it, guard it, just as you heard it and received it. Don't let it become corrupted or diluted and watered down with all the weird teaching that was coming through the church at that time. Guard it, protect it. 2 Timothy 2, he says, "What you have heard from me in the presence of many witnesses, commit to faithful men who will be able to teach others also." And that word commit there in the Greek has a similar meaning. It says it means to commit to deposit as a trust or for protection. In 2 Timothy 4, I love this passage. Again, Paul says to him, "I give you this charge, preach the word." Everyone say, preach the word. "Be prepared in season and out of season. Correct, rebuke, and encourage with great patience and careful instruction. For the time will come when people will not put up with sound doctrine." Sounds a little bit like today, doesn't it? People will not put up with sound doctrine. "Instead, to suit their own desires, they will gather around them a great number of teachers to say what their itching ears want to hear. They will turn their ears away from the truth and turn aside to myths." Sad, but you, I love this, "but you keep your head in all situations, endure hardship, do the work of an evangelist, discharge all the duties of your ministry." Paul was repeatedly, over and over again, emphasizing for Timothy the importance of anchoring himself and this community of new believers in truth. That in the midst of all manner of corrupt teaching, people's opinions, causing divisions, not to mention just the Roman culture that surrounded them, these things that were going to come and weaken their faith and have them distracted and arguing with each other over the meanings of words and weird things, he's telling Timothy that it was going to be the word, the gospel of Jesus Christ, that had the power to anchor them in truth. And it's the same for us today, is it not? In 2025, it's the same for us today. How are we going to keep our inner fire burning when there is so many different kinds of truths being preached, isn't there? This is truth, and that is truth. And even the whole concept and idea of truth, like lately we're hearing things like, well, we have for a while now, we don't even need a universal truth. Just go with your own truth. I've got my truth, and you go with your truth. Like, crazy. Crazy. My goodness. Have we heard that this morning? And we are also in a time like we shared at the beginning of our series, because remember, our vision for this year was for real, a real faith. Not only are we being bombarded and truth is being undermined, but what is real is being undermined. It's getting harder and harder to discern what is real. And I fall for it every time. I think I've shared, my kids are like, "No, Mum, the cute cow is not wearing a sun hat. It's AI. Dearie me. I know, oh, that's me. In a world that would have us disoriented, confused with all kinds of wisdom and truth, he has given us his word and his Holy Spirit, amen, to help us to discern and glean wisdom from it. And so when we are unsure about what we're hearing from the world, from podcasts, from the TV to big celebrity preachers and big platforms, and even from little old Pastor Aaron and Kristen, when you're unsure, go back to the word. Go back to the word. It'll anchor you in truth every time. Amen? Every time. When our inner fire has been dulled down to just embers, let's not throw wet wood on it, run off to our friend who might have an idea. Let's not throw green wood on it. Let's go back to the truth to set our hearts on fire again. Amen? Are you with me this morning? All right. Well, the second thing that we see Paul tell Timothy about what the word does for our inner fire is, number two, it nourishes us. The word nourishes us. Listen to this. He tells Timothy in 1 Timothy 4, "If you point these things out to the brothers and sisters, you will be a good minister of Christ Jesus, nourished on the truths of the faith and of the good teaching that you have followed." Don't you love that? Nourished on the truths of the faith. You know, this is saying that the word is more than just information. It's something completely different. To nourish, that word there, it means to sustain with nutrients, to promote life and growth and flourishing. That's the power of the word. Is that a word that we would use to describe how we feel after perusing the IKEA instruction manual for the flat pack we just bought? Do you feel nourished by that? Do you feel nourished? Sarah's nodding. Will we use the word nourished to describe how we feel after reading the news headlines? No. Since the word spoke creation into existence, the word has continued to nourish the life it creates. Amen. And we were designed, as Paul puts it, to be nourished on the truths of the faith. But what about when the word's just not doing it, when we're just not feeling it? Have you been there before? When you're doing your very best to read scripture and to be nourished, but it just feels dry and you feel disconnected. Has anybody been there? I think we've all been there before. And you know, there are many reasons as to why we experience that sometimes, and we're in seasons of our life, we're feeling that. And often we might not have an answer. But you know what? Sometimes there are some very real answers, and they have everything to do with the way we're approaching the Bible, our heart posture and our expectations towards Scripture. For example, we only go to the Bible to get blessed, right? I need a blessing, so I better open the Word and get a blessing from Jesus. Now, is there a blessing from following what Jesus said? Is there promises of blessing in the word? Yes, absolutely. But if we approach it by layering our Western idea of blessing and prosperity over the word, treating the word like some kind of genie in a lamp, we're going to hit a problem, aren't we? That's not the way it was intended. We are missing both the heart and the holiness of Scripture if we approach it that way. Or perhaps we approach the word to know something, to become an expert on something, or for it to tell us what to do, or to help us tell other people what to do. Like, what are the rules? I need to tell my kids the rules. Like, oh my goodness. And the Bible does give us instruction and wisdom for decision-making, but more than just telling us what to do, amen, the word is introducing us to a person. It's introducing us to a person. We come to the word of God to know Jesus and to be nourished by his words, amen? It's more than just information and knowledge. And we see Paul preach this throughout many of his letters to the church in Corinth. He urges them, like talking to people who are using the word to enforce, you know, Jewish custom on Gentiles. And he says, oh my goodness, knowledge, it's puffing you up. Knowledge puffs up, but love, it builds up. The word, just as information to use, is not what it was designed for. God, our God, he's a relational God, isn't he? And he has given us his word and his spirit so that we can know him. We can know him, and we can know the power of his transforming and healing love. And then we become vessels of that healing and transforming love to others in our world. So much more than just information. Listen to what the word says about itself. Isn't that funny? This is what the word says about the word. In Hebrews, it says the word is living and active, sharper than any two-edged sword. It penetrates even to the dividing of soul and spirit, joints and marrow. It judges the thoughts and attitudes of the heart. In Psalm 119, it says the word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. Paul says in Timothy, that the word is God-breathed. I love that. It's God-breathed, and it's useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness. Jesus said that his words are eternal. In Matthew 24, he says, heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will never pass away. And in John 6:63, Jesus says, my words that I have spoken to you are spirit and life. Spirit and life. And perhaps one of the most stunning descriptions of the word of God is found in Psalm 19, verses 7 to 11. This is talking about the law of the Lord. It says, the law of the Lord is perfect, refreshing the soul. The statutes of the Lord are trustworthy, making wise the simple. The precepts of the Lord are right, giving joy to the heart. The commands of the law are radiant, giving light to the eyes. The fear of the Lord is pure, enduring forever. The decrees of the Lord are firm, and all of them are righteous. They are more precious than gold, than much pure gold. They are sweeter than honey from the honeycomb. By them your servant is warned. In keeping them, there is great reward. We go to the word of God, amen, to fan into flame our inner fire, because his words are life and nourishment to us. And everybody said, amen. We go to the word because it anchors us in truth, and we go to the word because more than just information, they bring life and they sustain life. And to finish us off this morning, I want us to consider one more reason as to why we go to the word of God to keep our flame burning. And that is because, number three, we are disciples of Jesus. We are disciples of Jesus. And if I could have the keys player back, that would be great. Are we disciples of Jesus this morning? Yeah. A disciple does what it is that the person he or she is following, right? And Jesus didn't just have a remarkable relationship with and value for Scripture. He also had a lot to say about Scripture. And we know that Jesus, being a Jewish boy, he would have grown learning and memorizing Scripture. And we see this when Jesus was a child in Luke 2. It says that after 3 days, they found him in the temple courts, sitting among the teachers, listening to them and asking them questions. Everyone who heard him was amazed at his understanding and his answers. You know, by the time Jesus started his ministry years later, we see that the Scripture was so embedded in him that it comes out in all manner of ways, in his conversations, in his temptations and his struggles. What happened when he was tempted? The word came out. Comes out in his prayers, his teachings and preachings, up into his final days and past the crucifixion even. He preached the word, prayed the word, demonstrated the word. And we see throughout the Gospels, when you go through and you make reference to all the Scripture that he quotes and makes reference to, he's quoting from Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Deuteronomy, Psalms. We see him quoting from the prophets Isaiah, Jeremiah, Daniel, Hosea, Jonah, Micah, Zechariah, Malachi. All of it's in there coming out of the mouth of Jesus. And he does this for a variety of reasons. You know, one of the main reasons was to help the Jews see that God, through himself, was ushering in a new way, because many of them were just unsure. And so he used references to the Scriptures to help them to see what God was doing now, that his kingdom, this him, Jesus, the Son of Man on the earth, ushering in a new way. It's what the Scriptures had pointed to and were speaking about all along. And so we use the Scripture not to be doing away with the old way because it no longer mattered, not at all. In fact, I myself have come across people over the time in ministry who view it that way, that we don't really need to be in depth in the Word anymore because we've got Jesus and I have the Holy Spirit. I don't need the Word as much. I've got the Holy Spirit and, you know, grace. No, we need the Word, amen. Listen to what Jesus said himself in Matthew 5. Do not think that I have come to abolish the law or the prophets. I have not come to abolish them, but to fulfill them. For truly I tell you, until heaven and earth disappear, not the smallest letter nor the least stroke of a pen will by any means disappear from the law until everything is accomplished. Therefore, anyone who sets aside one of the least of these commands and teaches others accordingly will be called least in the kingdom of heaven. But whoever practices and teaches these commands will be called great in the kingdom of heaven. And this, of course, we find right in the middle of his Sermon on the Mount in Matthew. Some of my favorite sets of scriptures where he's teaching the crowds that the new is here. I am here, but not to do away with what was, but to fulfill it. And as you read Matthew 5 and 6, he's taking the commands as they know them. They would have known them at that time. The law, the 10 commandments. And he shows them how it is now fulfilled in him, but also how now they and us here get to live out of them in a new way, empowered by the Spirit. Amen? No, we're not under law anymore. Yes, we are under grace. But that doesn't mean, you know, that we throw out the Old Testament. You know, we kind of rip the first part of the Bible off and throw it away, and we just keep the New Testament. No, as Jesus shows us here, we now get to go to the Old Testament and read it through the lens of Jesus. Through the lens of Jesus. And it's a beautiful thing because the Old Testament no longer is just a representation of this unreachable benchmark that we could never meet. And the reminder of our sin that just makes, separates us from God so far. No, it now becomes a testimony of incredible grace when you read it through the lens of Jesus. Amen. That what we could never do for ourselves, Jesus did it. He did it for us. He bridged that gap. He imparted his very own righteousness so that we could come close to God and be in right relationship with him and with one another. Because of Jesus and through the power of the Holy Spirit, the Old Testament becomes a story that you and I are now grafted into as the people of God. And that is a beautiful thing. That's a beautiful thing. And then when you go through that sermon, he finishes with the parable of the wise and foolish builders. Is anybody thinking of that old Sunday school song? I won't sing it for you. But he says this, "Therefore, everyone who hears these words of mine and puts them into practice is like a wise man who built his house on the rock. The rain came down, the streams rose, and the winds blew and beat against that house, yet it did not fall because it had its foundation on the rock. But everyone who hears these words of mine and does not put them into practice is like a foolish man who built his house on sand. The rain came down, the streams rose, and the winds blew and beat against that house, and it fell with a great crash." How are we going to hear these words and make sure that we're putting them into practice? Well, we're going to go to the Word. And we're going to go to the Word again and again and again. Amen. Because my memory isn't that great. I don't know how, even being a words person, I find myself, I've got to go back and remind myself. In John, Jesus says, "If anyone loves me, he will keep my word." Everyone say keep. He says in John 15, "If you remain in me and my words remain in you, ask whatever you want and it will be done for you." Jesus himself treasured the word, even though he was the word and he fulfilled the world, the word. It's mind-blowing truth, that is. But we here this morning as his disciples, and even our vision here at Dayspring, right? We say it all the time. Our vision here at Dayspring is to know Jesus, to become like Jesus, and to live lives that make him known. So therefore, we approach the word like Jesus approaches the word. Amen? And we follow the way his disciples after him approached the word. Listen to what Paul says in Colossians. He says, "Let the word of Christ dwell richly among you, in all wisdom, teaching, admonishing one another through psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs, singing to God with gratitude in your hearts." Dwell richly. That's not casually a podcast here and there, is it? That's intentionally spending time in the Word until it begins to change my thinking, until it begins to change the way I see you and my parenting, and it begins to, is this making sense? It begins to form and shape me into the image of Jesus. That's the Word of God dwelling richly in us. We go to the Word because we follow Jesus. Eugene Peterson puts it like this. He says, "Ours is a pedestrian way," and he's talking about our discipleship to Jesus. Literally pedestrian. "We put one foot in front of the other as we follow Christ. And in order to know who he is, where he is going, and how to walk in his steps, we reach for a book, the book, and read it." Amen? You know, there is so much that could be said actually about the Word of God. It is such an incredible gift. And when I found out that I was going to be preaching on the Word, you ask Aaron, the post-it notes came out. I got so excited. Like there was, we could go in so many different directions. This is going to be so exciting. And I felt the Spirit kind of pull me back a little bit. And because I sensed that ultimately this morning, I just very practically needed to remind us today of the importance of His Word. And then to encourage us, if we get that fresh reminder this morning, that fresh revelation of the value and the importance of His Word, then it should urge us to reflect, how am I prioritizing that in my life? If it really is that important, if it's really going to anchor me and my life and my decision-making in truth, if I'm really gonna find myself nourished when the world, you know, when all it throws at me is not enough to nourish me, if all of that is true and that's found in His Word, how am I prioritizing it in my everyday life? And so this morning, we're gonna finish by doing just that. Because remember, here at Dayspring, we don't just come and consume a message, do we? No. We want to make space to see how and reflect, how is this word going to bear fruit in my life? How am I going to walk this out Monday through Saturday? And so we're going to end with a little bit of reflection and discussion with one or two people around us. And we're going to think about and discuss these two questions. What were you reminded of about the importance and value of God's word? And what do you sense God saying to you about this? And how you might change the way you prioritize His word in your life? All right, a few minutes to think and discuss. Father, we just thank You, Lord, for Your goodness and Your kindness towards us, that You didn't just leave us to figure out how to know You and how to follow You by ourselves, but Lord, You gifted us Your word and You filled us with Your Spirit so that we could know You, so that we could be filled with wisdom and understanding of how to know You and to love well and to walk out the plans and the purposes that You have for our lives. And so, Father, we just simply want to say thank You. We are so grateful. And Lord, this morning we want to ask Your forgiveness. Lord, where we have placed other words and other things above Your word, above Your truth. And we ask, Holy Spirit, that even this week that You would nudge us. We invite You to interrupt some of the things that we're doing and thinking and the decisions that we're making, to show us where we're doing that, where we're prioritizing other things. And Lord, would You grace us this week, Lord, with the heart's desire to go back to Your word, to come back and be found in Your word. And we ask, Lord, that as we do make that decision to open Your word and be in Your presence, we ask for fresh encounters this week. Lord, that we would be left with hearts burning as we encounter You in Your word through the power of Your Spirit. And we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.
Thank you for joining us. We hope you were blessed. To find out what's happening in the life of our community, you can visit dayspring.com.au or connect with us on Facebook or Instagram.